regarding an owl that throw a lot of Americans out of work. And we might as well understand that. And yet we have sound environmental record. Not apologetic about it at all.
Why do you hate us trial lawyers so? We don't just...
I might have to hedge if I'd known you were one.
There's an editorial here. We don't destroy wealth, we just move it around.
No, well, it's not a question of hating anybody. It's a question of that I think the American people understand. When I went to a small town in Idaho, I was expecting to get all kinds of questions on nuclear energy or on wilderness areas. And the community people, the business people, Chamber of Commerce people, the main subject on their minds were these frivolous lawsuits. When I look at healthcare and I see malpractice insurance estimated to cost between $25 to $50 billion a year because of tests that doctors have to give to protect themselves against outrageous suits, I just think we've gone too far and that we ought to control some of these liabilities, some of these tort claims, some of these reckless suits. And I have here a distinct, far be it from me to inject a partisan note into this wonderfully nonpartisan audience, but I have a real difference with Governor Clinton on this one. The trial lawyers of Arkansas put out a letter saying that he'd been with them on everything they've ever asked, and don't worry, just send the dough in for the governor on so to protect against legislation that would try to put some caps on these outrageous suits. We got a chance right now in the Senate. The Kasten bill is coming up of product liability, and we've got to continue to fight to get through that gridlock up there in the Congress, some legislation that would at least lower the burden on the American people, the doctors, whatever it is, in terms of too many lawsuits.
How realistic is it to double the size of our economy by the early years of the next century?
It's realistic when you consider that if you use inflation plus real growth, that is not too heightened a goal. We can do that. And you got to do the math on it, but you're talking about 7%, I think. And I believe we can do that. We've had anemic real growth. I'm convinced it is not going to remain anemic in the less than 2% area. Coming out of the last recession, it got up to 5%. And so I think the goal is very much achievable. I might say I don't want to achieve it by raising inflation, however. I want to get it achieved by real growth. I mean, you can run inflationary policies and grow. So I want to be very careful when I say, one, it's achievable, but two, I want to achieve it with the real growth, not with inflationary growth.
What do you say to the American workers who believe that free trade means jobs lost abroad?
Well, again, I tried to address myself to that one. I think that it means jobs increased in this country. Our trade with Mexico has gone way, way up without this free trade agreement. And in my view, it'll go up a lot further, and that means American jobs. We've got experts on the auto industry here, but I am convinced that they are not going to export their factories to Mexico. There are a lot of considerations. One of them is the productivity of the American worker. Another one is interest rates. Another one is capacity, available capacity in whatever industry we're talking about. You're going to raise the environmental standards in Mexico, and I think you're going to cut down on the cross-border flow of illegals that I think is burdening a lot of our country, particularly California. And I believe in my heart of hearts that what we're going to do is see a massive expansion into that booming market in Mexico. And it's already happened in Canada. Our trade with Canada, our largest trading partner, as everyone here knows better than I, has gone way, way up. And I'm convinced the same thing would happen for American agriculture products, not only with Mexico, but when we get a finalized agreement with the GATT. Now, that GATT round is on hold until after the French vote on Maastricht. But we're going to keep pushing on it. It has nothing to do with American politics. I went up there realizing that the unions would take a shot at me on finalizing NAFTA right now when we did. getting an agreement that we can at least get before the Congress. But that's it transcends domestic politics for me. I am so convinced that it will increase markets and increase jobs that I don't have to equivocate, I don't have to hedge, I don't have to read the National Academy of Sciences studies or whoever's doing it. I know enough about it from being briefed by a very able Ambassador Carla Hills to recommend to the American people that we approve NAFTA and approve it just as soon as we possibly can.
Do a couple more. In black American newspapers across the country, black Republicans are labeled Uncle Toms, opportunists, and lapdogs for white Republicans. Do you have words of encouragement for black Republicans under attack? For black Americans who are Republican, the agenda is the same as for any American. Why can't black Republicans desire the American dream? It's not the same dream for all Americans. Please comment.
I just answered my question. You should be able to have the American dream. And I would ask black voters across this country, good podium right here to do it. How well are you done under the Democratic Party? You can let these people take your vote for granted, promise and forget, promise and forget. Are you gonna try to go with something that's gonna give people an enterprise zone so you can bring jobs into the inner city? Do you favor the old way of doing it in housing, where governments build these big tenements that then go downhill real fast? Or do you want a shot at the American dream and owning your own home? We've got good programs that offer hope and opportunity to black America, to minority Americans, wherever they're coming from. And I want to see them enacted. And so I would say to black Americans, I know it may be tough in your communities, but you're leaders. You're willing to stand up for principle. And don't blacks care about tough anti-crime legislation? Aren't their neighborhoods the ones that are impacted and sometimes the worst because of street crime? Don't we owe them strong anti-crime legislation that backs our police officers and doesn't leave them neglected? Don't they have a stake in world peace? Can't a black Republican stand up in his community and say, I'm delighted that my kid goes to bed at night without the fear of nuclear war that we had before? We got a good agenda. And I'd like to see some more of them stand up and say, listen, I am with you. We're with you. And we've got some outstanding black leaders doing just exactly that, who are willing to think and know and not be taken for granted.
When is the debate likely? Are there any restrictions? How much of the press would you like to be directly involved? There were several questions on this. This is one of them.
Well, I have no problem with the format we used before. I mentioned this on the Tom Brokaw show. I'll debate Governor Clinton. I'm not a professional debater. I'm not an Oxford man. But I think he's good at that. I mean, he's got more statistics than there are problems. I know I'm up against a formidable debater, but it's not anything other than, look, I'll be there. I'll let my capable staff figure this out, and whatever they recommend, I'll show up. And I think I've done reasonably well on the debates in the past. You ought to try taking on Geraldine Ferraro if you think things were tough. So we go back a ways on these debates. So I think there'll be debates, and I think I've already indicated, I think the format was very fair, the way we've been doing it in the past. But this, as I said on Brokaw's, I know it's some, you get some intellectuals out there in the Harvard schools and they all want you to have 25 debates, and I don't think it's that big a deal, but I'll take my case to the American people any way I can, including debates.
Well, the last question, Mr. President. Next time in Detroit, could we have breakfast? My treat. My name is Patrick Campbell from Redford Township. He addresses that to you and Mrs. Bush.
Well, Patrick, it's tough times. I'd be glad to accept your offer.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you all very, very much. Thank
President
you.
Bush, ending a question and answer discussion
you.
Following his speech announcing the agenda for American renewal, ending on a humorous note. And the President obviously relaxed as the questions wound down.